Hi, my name is Devashish and I am from SQL Server Support Team Microsoft. I will discuss backup compression in this presentation. Backup compression was introduced in SQL Server 2008 Enterprise Edition. This feature was added since it was one of the most requested features in the product, which trades increased CPU utilization for smaller number of I/O requests as well as smaller backup file size. Prior to SQL Server 2008, if users needed backup compression, then they had to use third-party tools to take the SQL backups. In this presentation, I will talk about how backup compression works, how it's enabled in SQL Server, how it can save time and size, some of the things we should keep in mind while working with backup compression. Also, I will go through some troubleshooting approaches and how we can use Resource Governor to control the CPU usage during the backup. Now let's see how backup compression works. To understand how backup compression works, it's important to understand how a normal backup works. In its simplest form, it involves two components, reader and writer threads, although there are other components which I'm not discussing here. The reader basically pulls a free buffer from memory, fills it with data, and places it on the data queue. The writer pulls filled data buffers from the data queue, processes the buffer, and returns it to the free list. The buffers are basically transitioned between free and data queues. The buffer count and size is governed by the setting buffer count and max transfer size respectively. When backup compression is enabled, there is an additional step added wherein the data in the buffers are subjected to compression before being copied to the disk. There is a complex compression algorithm applied on the buffers to compress it. Now we will see how we can check for the backup compression settings at the server level and how we can override them. So to check for the server level default settings, we go to the server level properties. Go to the database settings. Here we see the checkbox compress backup. If we select this option, anytime you take a backup on the server, it will be compressed. This is a server level setting. In case if you need to override these settings, when we take a backup of the database, we can right click the database, go to tasks, go to backup. In the options page, we see the compression section. Here under set backup compression, we have three options: use the default server setting, compress backup, and do not compress backup. The first setting is the one which I showed you sometime back. It's the server level setting. The second one is to take a backup of this database using the compression. And the third one is do not compress the backup. For those who prefer TSQL queries, we can also take a compressed backup using TSQL syntax. Here we see the queries for that. This is very similar to the backup database syntax with just a with compression clause at the end. Similarly, for no compression, if you have a default setting of compression of database backups, then we can use this syntax to override that setting and take a backup with no compression clause. Next, I will show you how backup compression can help in reducing the size of the backup. For this demo, I will be considering a database by the name of sample_demo2, database which is around 1900 MB in size. So now let's consider the time taken for a non-compressed backup. So here we see the backup database with no compression has completed, and it takes around 58.58 seconds for the backup database to complete. The space consumed by the backup can be found using the below query. So let's refer to the third entry here. First two entries were the backup sizes of the database backups which I had taken earlier. So in the third entry, we see the backup size is around 1.2 GB. Now let's test a database backup with the compression option. So the database backup with the compression option has completed. The time taken by the backup database command is 20 seconds. So here we can clearly note the difference between the time taken for an uncompressed backup with respect to a compressed backup. So here we see the backup database with the compression option has completed, and it has taken around 20 seconds for its completion. Here we can notably see the difference between a compressed backup and a non-compressed backup. A non-compressed backup took around 58 seconds for this particular database, whereas a compressed backup took merely 20 seconds for it to complete. We can also calculate the space consumed by the backup using the similar query. So if we see the fourth result of this particular query, shows that it is 154 MB. That means the size of the backup with compression option is 154 MB, whereas the size of the backup which is taken with no compression is around 1.2 GB. So here too we can see a notable difference. Let's restore an uncompressed database backup. So what I'm doing here is I'm restoring the sample demo underscore 2 database to a new database sample underscore demo 2 underscore rest underscore no compress. So we see that the restoration of an uncompressed backup has completed, and it has taken around 44 seconds for its completion. Now let's restore a database backup which we had taken with the with compression clause earlier. So here we see the restoration of the compressed database backup has completed and has taken around 27 seconds for its completion. Here too we see a notable difference between the restoration times taken by a compressed and non-compressed backup. The restoration of an uncompressed backup took around 44 seconds, whereas the restoration of a compressed backup took around 27 seconds. A marked difference. Going further, let's find the backup compression ratio for the compressed database. We can use this particular query to find the backup compression ratio. So let's focus on the fourth entry of this query result. This query basically queries one of the MSDB tables called the backup set, and I'm filtering on the database name here. So if we focus on the fourth entry here, it shows a compression ratio of 7.77. The previous backup was that of an uncompressed one, which shows that there is no compression. I would like to state here that it's not necessary that the compression ratio is always so high. It's primarily dependent on the type of data in your database. For example, if your database has lots of repeated data, then that compression ratio will be very high. Going further, some of the things to keep in mind while working with backup compression. Creating compressed backups is supported only in SQL Server 2008 Enterprise and later. But all SQL Server 2008 editions can restore a compressed backup. Previous versions of SQL Server cannot read compressed backups. This is applicable for SQL Server 2000 and 2005. Backup compression does not shrink the database. The way backup compression and shrink works is completely different. When the file of the target backup device is initially created, you may notice its size is different than the final size when the backup operation is complete. When you perform a backup of a database in SQL Server 2008, the initial and final size of the target backup device can vary depending on the compression settings applied to the backup operation. To get maximum performance benefits during the backup operation, SQL Server calculates estimated size of the target backup device and initially creates the backup file at that projected size. This avoids frequent growths that are needed during backup operation while writing contents to the backup device. Another thing which you should keep in mind while working with backup compressions is that we can get native SQL Server backup compression using VDI interface as well. Within the VDI protocol, the backup application specifies a TSQL backup command. This means that the backup application can use any TSQL command line options, including the option with compression. In this case, the SQL Server will send a pre-compressed data stream. However, if the server default is set to always compress, the SQL Server will not send compressed data stream to VDI initiated backup unless the application specifically requests it. Now let's discuss some of the troubleshooting steps which we take in case of any backup compression issue. The first place to look at is the SQL Server error log files. Anytime the backup fails to run, it will log error messages in the SQL Server error log file. This gives a good starting point in troubleshooting backup or backup compression related failures. Another place to look at is the backup media set system table. This system table contains a history of backups with columns describing each backup created. This table contains the backup size and compressed backup size columns, which can be used to determine how effective backup compression has been. Next, we have few restore commands. The first one is the restore header only. This command returns various columns describing each backup on the file. The key columns for troubleshooting are backup size and compressed backup size. The second one is the restore label only. This command returns information about how the backup file was formatted. The isCompressed column reports whether the backup file was created with or without compression enabled. This command will be useful in troubleshooting some of the known issues with backup compression. Then we have restore verify only. This command does not guarantee that a backup can be successfully restored to a clean database, but instead only shows that it is formatted correctly in Microsoft tape format and that backup checksums are valid. The next troubleshooting technique to use is the usage of trace flags. We can use the trace flag 3004, which is a session level trace flag and prints key messages at every step during the backup and restore. To enable this trace flag, we can use the command dbcc traceon 3004. We also need to use the trace flag 3605 to log the error messages into the error log. Some of the known issues with backup compression. Behavior of compressed backups when appending backups to an existing media set. One of the main restrictions with compressed backups is that compressed and uncompressed backups cannot coexist in a media set. You can refer to the link provided for further details. When you create a compressed backup for a database in SQL Server 2008, you cannot stop the backup operation if the backup operation stops responding. The issue is most likely to occur if the following conditions are true. First, the IO operation from the instance of SQL Server to the backup device is very slow, or there are many backup memory buffers. To work around this issue, you have to restart the SQL Server service. The best resolution to apply at this point is a cumulative update package 6 for SQL Server 2008, where this particular issue has been resolved. You can refer to this Microsoft KB article for more details on this known issue. So let me show you how we can use these trace flags in SQL Server. So first we need to run this command dbcc traceon 3004, 3605 and -1. Then let's take a backup of a database with compression. Let's go ahead and check the error log. So if we check the output of the error log here, we will see that the trace flag has outputted a lot of verbose logs into the error log file, as I am highlighting here. This can be used as a good troubleshooting technique while troubleshooting backup failures or issues when backup is taking a lot of time. Now let's see how Resource Governor can be used to control the CPU usage during backup compression. Backups are going on. As we know, the backup compression feature compresses the backup with fewer I/O cycles, but on the account of higher CPU usage. But we can use Resource Governor to keep the CPU usage under control when the backup compression is going on. This feature is only available in SQL Server 2008 onwards. For this, we need to create a login and a user which will be used to run the compressed backups. So the idea is to create a resource pool mapped to a specific login for which the CPU utilization is kept. So let me quickly run through the script which I've used to configure Resource Governor for backup compression. So first we need to create a login and then create a user which is mapped to that particular login. We also add this particular user to the backup operator DB role using sp underscore add role member. Next, we need to create a resource pool and specify with the maximum CPU percentage we want it to restrict to. Then we need to create a workload group which uses this particular resource pool. Next, we need to create the function to map the login with the corresponding workload group. So this is the script to do that. Next, we need to register the classifier function with the resource governor. That can be done by using alter resource command. And the classifier function is the same one which we created above. Next, start the resource governor using the alter resource governor reconfigure command. Once these above steps are carried out, your resource governor has been configured. To check if the resource group utilized by the login session, we can run this particular query. Here we see the login name max underscore CPU, which we created for this demonstration, is using the resource group backup underscore CPU underscore control group. So in case you are using this login max underscore CPU while taking your backups, the CPU usage will probably not grow more than what is specified in your max underscore CPU underscore percent while creating the resource pool. So hope this presentation was very useful to you. Thanks for your time.